Okay. Hey, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Lucky Few podcast, where we are shifting the narrative by shouting the worth of people with Down syndrome. This is Mercedes,
Micah,
and Heather.
And today we are joined by Alana Myers Taylor, a three-time Olympian and mother to a child with Down syndrome. We are so excited to hear from her. Thank you for joining us, friends. Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. Does your child struggle with constipation? Increasing fiber in their diet can help. High Fiber for Kids provides 6 grams of soluble fiber in only 1 tablespoon of clear liquid. It also contains prebiotics, which balances and promotes gut health while improving regularity. High Fiber for Kids is safe and works best when taken regularly. It's available on Amazon. Look for the bottle with the duck. High Fiber for Kids, small dose, big impact.
Okay, friends, remember that time that we got to interview an Olympian?
Yes.
On have an Olympian on the podcast? So exciting. What are your memories of the Olympics? Have you dreamt of being in the Olympics? Have you been in the Olympics and we don't even know?
There's something I want to tell you girls. You don't know about that. But when I was in the Olympics, I was a gymnast though, you guys.
Olympics?
In the Olympics, surprise!
You were not. Okay.
If the Olympics were the Texas Midwest, like semifinals for level 4. Okay. Then I was, and I got third place.
That's so funny. What did you do? Like, what was
difficulty? I did all around. I mean, I competed till I was 16, and then it was It was my first job in high school. I taught like 3 and 4 year old gymnastics.
Oh my gosh.
I loved it. So I did dream of the Olympics, and I had. I'm older than y'all. Gals. So like the Magnificent Seven happened in my formative time, which was like when Carrie Strug like broke her ankle and still landed the vault. Do you guys have any memory of this?
No, this probably is like, I saw a video.
This is like 94. So, okay. I mean, I was 14 and y'all were like little babies.
It was like 3.
Oh my gosh. I was a twinkle in my mom's
born?
Eye.
I don't even know.
Stop.
I was born.
But yes, so they were, that was my dream team. And I had followed all those girls. So I had followed like all the world championships and all of I had their posters on my wall already. And then they went to the Olympics.
Wow.
So that was, yeah, I had some big dreams back then.
I love that so much. My dream is to one day go to the opening games. Doesn't that just look epic?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then when I was a little girl, ice skating. I mean, who didn't stop everything to watch figure skating, right?
Yeah.
All the drama went down during our time too.
Oh, yes. Totally.
Which was the best.
It was the best. Yes. Nancy Kerrigan, the whole Nancy Kerrigan scandal.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Tonya Harding. I know. When I was... Yeah. I
grew Michelle up in Kwan.
Michelle Kwan. Oh, you guys. I grew up in a small mountain town and Michelle Kwan, there was a training center for ice skating and Michelle Kwan trained at our center and technically would have gone to school with me, except that she was homeschooled. And it was like, you know, one of our school's little claim to fame that Michelle Kwan trained there. And you know who else trained there? I did.
Were you an ice skater?
That's being generous, but yes. I did take ice skating lessons in my younger years and I have been in an ice skating show or two.
Tell me this. If you got on the ice skating rink right now, could you skate like in a scale, like in an arabesque with your leg behind you, on one foot. Can you do that?
For a second.
For a second? Get it up there?
Like I mean, it's been like a lifetime. So I think I can get some practice and do that. But I probably dreamt of being an Olympic like ice skater. And also I think even in my younger years had enough self-awareness to be like, that's never going to happen.
couples figure skating though. That's
oh my gosh.
It was that.
Mercedes is like having romantic vision. It's like hitting puberty and being like a man in
outfits. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
You remember? And it was always like a Celine Dion song or
yes. Like and then, and then with the cutting edge, like you watch that movie, The Cutting Edge, and then they're making out at the end. That's the best part. They land all the jumps and then they have their kiss at the end.
And what was that one move that was always so big? Like it was like always big.
Oh, they're all called like the Oshana, like the
I think it was the Oshana Hana.
In Hawaii.
Anyway. You know, as a former ice skater, you'd think that I would remember, but
That's so funny.
But we have a real Olympian.
A real one.
Real Olympic dreams coming true.
Y'all, this is the gift. There's so many gifts of Down syndrome, and we talk about this all the time. But I mean, could we have ever met an Olympian and talked to them unless we had a kid with Down syndrome?
No,
brings not us that cool. All together.
All together. And maybe, just maybe, if this interview goes well, she'll invite us to the opening.
Alana, yes. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? We will be the cheerleaders for the bobsled team.
Oh my God.
I would do any cheer.
We could wear matching outfits, like the tight outfits.
Yes. That
oh my gosh. Okay. Let's
make it dream team. True.
Dream it's team. Happening. Such a joy to be able to talk to her. Amazing.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Mercedes, we're going to jump in a second to hear your conversation with her. Before we do, I want to read one of our sweet reviews from one of our listeners. Actually, two of our listeners who left a review together because y'all, you can do that if you want to. Kyle and Aaron, they say, hey, friends, if you have a child with Down syndrome, this is the podcast for you. So many great guests with a wealth of knowledge. Highly recommended. And 5 stars. So, yeah, Kyle and Aaron, thank you guys so much. And we would love to hear from any of you listeners out there. We would love to read your review on here. So don't forget to review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps people find our podcast. And especially we're thinking about those new parents out there who have gotten a diagnosis and are looking for support. We want them to like type it in and find us right away. So we love reading these and we appreciate your support so much. All right, you guys ready?
Ready.
Let's go have a conversation with Alana.
Okay, I am so excited to introduce Alana Myers Taylor. She is a 3-time Olympian, 2-time women's world champ in bobsled. She's a wife and a mother to a child with Down syndrome. Welcome to the show, Alana.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. Okay. I have to say right off the bat that my daughter Sunflower is going to be 8 in June, which has been a long awaited age because she can now enter Special Olympics.
Oh yeah, and that's awesome.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that's so cool.
So I'm super duper excited and I just feel like it opens up a whole new opportunity and world for Sunny and our family. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. And just so you know, they don't have bobsled yet in Special Olympics, so that's a little off the table. But hopefully, you know, one of my goals is to try and get skeleton, which is head first down the ice in Special Olympics, which is, yeah, sounds odd, but it's actually safer than bobsled.
Oh, and no way.
I think we can make it work. So, which is kind of cool. So I've actually had the opportunity to start getting introduced to a lot of folks in Special Olympics. Actually, they have a Special Olympics Winter Games coming up in January, which is pretty cool. And they do a lot of different winter activities, which a lot of people don't know, especially, you know, depending on where you are in the country.
Yeah, I'm in California. So I feel like I have in my mind swimming, also because I don't run, but Sunny's a runner. And I feel like I need to steer it to good use. You know, I'm like, okay, you can run. Let's harness this. So I feel like I want to expose her to all of it, but I'm leaning towards her strengths of runner and swimmer. But I don't want to be too much of a cheer mom or a dance mom. So I want to let her decide, but bobsled head first. Okay. You can ease me into that. We'll see. Okay.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, so why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners? And if you can, please talk about your family and your career.
So I am originally from Georgia, and I started bobsledding 15 years ago after I was trying to make the Olympic softball team and didn't make the Olympic softball team. So bobsled's one of those sports you can get into later in your career. So when I didn't make it, I was just looking for a sport to try and live my Olympic dream. My parents actually saw bobsled on TV and recommended I give it a try. And I Googled it and emailed a coach and got invited to a tryout. And so I'm going into my 15th season, and I met my husband in bobsled about in 2011. So almost 10 years ago now. And we've been together ever since he started the sport, we've been together. And 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, I say two because I think in the Olympic years and
yes, going totally. Into
Olympic cycle. And so a year ago, basically, we had our son, Nico, our first child, and he was born a little bit early at 36 weeks. And then we got the diagnosis of Down syndrome and profound bilateral hearing loss. Through COVID, he's just been the biggest trooper. He's the love of our lives. He's the joy of our lives. And we're just so happy we get to parent him.
Oh my goodness. I love that. So could you talk to us about receiving that at birth diagnosis? Yeah. Talk to us about that time for you and your hubby.
Yes. So I think the biggest thing is I don't know that the diagnosis really even set in because we got it in the NICU, and we had no indication beforehand that anything was going on. We were seeing a specialist because I had polyhydramnosis and he had short long bones, but no indication otherwise that he might have Down syndrome or anything else like that. You know, it was kind of taken off back that we would even be in the NICU. Like I had no plans. First of all, I ended up having a C-section, which was not in my birth plan at all. Totally. You know, as an athlete, you go in and you're like, I can handle a lot of pain and we're going to do this. But I had to get induced. And then he was in the NICU. So when we got our diagnosis, we didn't even process it. Our biggest thing was we were still just trying to work so hard to figure out what he needed to do to get out of the NICU. You know, I think the benefit of having that post-birth diagnosis is that, you know, we were in love with him. He was ours. So it never felt like a tragic thing to us, even though when the doctor gave us the news, she was like kind of toneless and everything like that. Like there wasn't any excitement or anything. Like, I think that's pretty normal and the experience people have. And, you know, obviously the first thing everybody goes and does is look up on Google and you see all these things. But fortunately, you know, I think we were kind of in the mindset of, okay, let's just get him out of the NICU first, and then we'll tackle everything else that comes with it.
Right. I know. It is kind of what I've heard. I haven't had a baby in the NICU, but what I've heard is it's a very strange feeling going from giving birth and then your baby's rushed off and being treated for something in the NICU. And how long was he there for? Did he have to stay a little while?
No, he was only there for 8 days. And for us, we felt like it was even longer than it should have been, because we felt at some point that they were treating him more because of his diagnosis, and they were keeping him there more for his diagnosis than his actual health issues, which, you know, I think that was my first
advocating moment.
Yeah, my first advocating moment, because, you know, one of the issues he was having was a feeding issue. But when he came out initially, you know, they thought there might be obstruction in his bowel, but he ate right away. Like, he has always been a good eater, and so he ate right away. And then they had to stop feeding him for a while, and in order to make sure his bowel was clear and everything, and put him on IV fluids. And then they started him back again, and then they put him on this feeding schedule. But right away, like, as soon as they did that, I was like, you know, this is not just my motherly instinct. I was like, this is not going to work for him. This is not how he's going to eat. He's going to eat when he wants to eat, and then he's going to stop when he wants to stop. So this schedule is not working out for him. And so to continually force feed him at certain times and not give him enough at other times, I was like, this isn't working out.
Right.
So it really was up to me and my husband to really advocate and make sure, like, he was getting the nutrition he needed, and he was getting what he needed when he needed.
I love that. It is difficult. And I feel like too, when you're raising a child with a disability and an at birth diagnosis right off the bat, you have to almost advocate for, like, knowing best for your child, because you get a lot of outside influence, right? Like, everybody kind of knows best, or, and you're like, no, wait, it feels like already, like, like, you have to advocate day one. So speaking of advocating, schedules, therapies, how do you guys, and I bet it's because you are an awesome team, you and your husband, but walk us through, like, your training schedule and then your son's schedule, you know, all that. Everybody's training, you know?
Yes. And so in our house, we have a whiteboard where we, at the beginning of the week, I write down all the days and write down everybody's schedule. And yes, it is crazy packed. And I think we just go into each day trying to do the best we can with each day. And it's been a long time now. You know, I'm 36 years old, and I knew, you know, I knew whenever we had any child that it was going to change my training. And so instead of looking at it as I need to have perfect training every day, I do training that is good enough. Like, it's going to be good enough every single day. Of course, like, I'm still trying to go after and win Olympic gold medals and things like that. But, you know, in that context, I still need to do what's best for my son. So if my training takes a hit, it'll be all right. I'll figure it out. And we just need to make sure he's taken care of. And then the other thing is just being realistic about him too. You know, it's so young, it's sometimes PT sessions, OT sessions, they're not going to be ideal. Sometimes he's going to be cranky, and he's going to be hungry, he's going to be tired, and and sometimes he's just going to downright sleep right through it. And I think at the beginning, when you first start making those schedules up, you're like, oh my gosh, he's got to, everything's got to be perfect, he's got to wake up and get these sessions and all this kind of stuff like that. But fortunately, we've had some good luck in finding some good providers who've worked with us and been able to work with us, especially as we're traveling. And somehow we just all make it work. Like, we just piecemeal things together and do what we can.
Oh, I love that. It's so true. And especially when, like, he's your first. So Sunflower was my first. So we, like, we had all the schedule, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's just her. We got to do all the things. And there were times we'd show up and she'd fallen asleep in the car, and I'd, oh, maybe she'll wake up, and it's been an hour. Like, okay, great session today, you know, like, go back home. And I would try, I thought about this on the spot. Like, I would try to do exercises at home, but also give rest time. Like, have you felt like that too? Like, balancing, especially with you being an athlete, do you think, is there any kind of form of, like, perfectionism? I don't even know if that's a word, that you place on Nico or anything like that. Have you kind of had to work out some mindset and some personal, you know how we do that as parents? We put our, we put our personal, I don't know, junk on our kids. Yes. Have you done that? And have you worked through that? Or are you working through that?
Yeah. So I think that's why me and my husband are a really good team. My husband is actually, even though he's the bobsledder as well, he's also one of my coaches. So he does my strength and conditioning programs and stuff like that. And as an athlete myself, I tend to overdo it. I overtrain a lot. I'm a person who's like more, more, more. And it took me quite a few times in my career, injuries and that and whatnot and different things going on, to realize like more isn't always more. Sometimes less is more, and it's about training optimally. So at the beginning, when we first started our therapy journey, I guess you could say, I felt that way with Nico, like he's got to go more and more and more. But it was really my husband being like, okay, like he's getting cranky, he's getting tired, like we're gonna wrap it up for a minute, give him some break, and then go after it again. And kind of using that same formula that he uses with me is like, when we're doing something, we hit it hard, but then we also rest hard. And so just realizing that he doesn't need to be just the same as I don't, he doesn't need to be on 24/7, like doing everything. Like right now, one of the things we're working on is just sitting stationary, sitting unassisted. And like, that's not something he can work with all hours of the day. And it's not something I need to force him to work on all hours of the day. Right. Just taking our time and going through it like that.
I used to, 100%, because I used to say like sunflower is like working out way more than I am, you know, like you have that core strength. It'd be like if I was making her, or if anybody was making me do like planks like all day. Like it takes so much effort and it's a full body effort. I love that. I think you and your husband make an excellent team, and that's really such a blessing. Now, I was reading about your cool partnership with Gigi's Playhouse, and could you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we've, with COVID going on, you know, the crazy thing about our schedules is, first thing that happened is I needed to start getting back in training for bobsled season, and all the gyms shut down. And then all our services went virtual too. So we were in this kind of zone where like I couldn't even go anywhere to train, and he was doing all the sessions online and all this kind of stuff like that. And we were like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do any of this. Like I'm just so overwhelmed right now, trying to figure out how to get in my schedule, how to get in his schedule, and in the middle of a pandemic and things like that. So we did have the good fortune of like connecting with Gigi's online very early, and just being able to talk to other parents and being able to sit in the groups. Like they have these virtual sessions with the OT, of physical therapists, and speech therapists, and we could just tell them what we're experiencing and what's going on, and they would help us out. And so gradually, as things got better, then we started going in person with them and things like that. So they've been a tremendous help to our family, especially through COVID. And so I felt like the least I could do was try and, you know, give back to Gigi's in some sort of way and represent, because of all the stuff they've done for my family and all the stuff they've done so for so many of our families. So I contacted them and said, hey, you know, I really want to be able to represent you guys. Is it possible for me to put a sticker on my helmet or put something on my sled or something like that? And they created the stickers, and so far, I've been able to wear the sticker to all my races. It's been represented on TV and stuff when our races are televised. And then also the cool thing is a lot of people within the sport of bobsled don't have a lot of experience with Down syndrome and don't really understand it. And so a lot of my teammates picked up stickers. And then even one of the pilots from Austria picked up a sticker and he started a conversation. You know, he's like, I really want to know more about Down syndrome. Like, I don't know anybody in my life with it. Like just, and you know, and also within our sport, a lot of the countries, you know, unfortunately, when they receive prenatal diagnosis, they abort the children. And so those are a lot of the countries in the sport we compete in, represent those countries and things like that. So just being able to spread that awareness was really important to me. And it's been a really great partnership so far. And hopefully there's more ways we can come up with some more creative ways where we can continue in the future.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I got the chills, because it's so true. The whole world just needs to experience more people with Down syndrome, and especially the ones that love those people with Down syndrome. Because I think parents, new parents in those different countries, I'm not sure how they're being guided by doctors. I don't want to put, I don't know, but it's not positive. It seems like it's only negative. So what, and that's hard to be so vulnerable. I mean, you were just there, like you're so vulnerable when you're a parent and you have a baby in your belly or you're making all these big decisions. So I feel like that can be kind of taken advantage of and you're steered to think a certain way. And I think what a light it is to see Gigi's Playhouse represented and then go to that site and see a whole new beautiful world. Was your son Nico your first experience with Down syndrome?
Yes, actually. And so that's part of the reason why I also feel like it's very important for him to be out there too. You know, I know there's all kinds of debates on how much to post about your children on social media and all this kind of stuff like that. But I think people need to understand the realities of Down syndrome and, you know, they're just like any other baby, you know, yes, he might have to have more therapies and things like that, but he's a baby, he's a child. And, you know, I think we have a pretty incredible life. And the fact that he's able to go out to all these places, to Switzerland, to Austria, like he has more passport stamps than most people.
Oh, than me. I'm will like, ever have. You need a nanny with four kids. We'll four all get on. Be difficult. A nanny with four kids. Boy, we're coming for you, Nico. I love it.
So he's been able to travel the world and so many people have been able to see him and see how we live our lives and see that he's just like the most incredible kid and he's such a joy. And I feel like it makes the diagnosis a lot less intimidating. And it, you know, part of my platform has always been one of inclusivity. So this further broadens that. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, even though we didn't have much experience with people in the special needs community and things like that, we had worked with, I know it's obviously different categories and stuff. My husband had coached Paralympians and things like that, which are mostly mostly physical disabilities and things like that. There are some mental disabilities and things that are able to compete in Paralympics, but it's mostly physical. And that was most of the experience. But I think just being out there and showing him and having that experience is not only, you know, broadening other people's information about Down syndrome, but it's also showing that you as a family, it's something that you can manage and you can manage to be a very successful bobsledder while having a diverse family.
Yeah, 100%, which I do find that's always kind of the question, like, is my life going to stop now? And it's like, no.
I mean, your life stops for children.
Yeah, your life. Let's just put it. Yeah, exactly. The fact is, yes, your life will stop, but that's just because you decided to have a child, not because of the diagnosis of Down syndrome. And I have had to, like, even for myself, change my mindset. Like, how much am I gonna? And mostly, it's probably with therapies or just like trying to control Sunny's situation too much. Like, your life can stop if you decide to like do certain things. But if you, I don't know, like for Sunflower, I found that she is physically more capable than she is verbally. So I feel like her strengths are very sporty. Like, she wants to swim all the time. She wants me to play ball with her. She likes to run around. And then talking is very hard for her. So that's something we kind of have to focus on more. And then when it comes to the physical stuff, PT is not my highest priority right now because she's good with it. And I keep her active. That's actually how we keep her interested in speech, is doing a lot of jumping, doing a lot of running and a lot of physical games while practicing her speech. And so we've learned how to incorporate her exercise within our lifestyle that centers what she needs, but also works for the whole family. Cause now she has siblings and all that jazz. Okay. So for you being a new mama and all that, how was that as far as, okay, you have the diagnosis, but even coming into motherhood now, and then there was a pandemic, like you're just coming into all this thing. How was that for you personally, being an athlete and then than being at home, you know?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing, more so than the diagnosis, was actually COVID. Beforehand, we had all these plans figured out, like people were going to come over and help us out and like help us clean the house and, you know, whether it's bring us meals or whatnot and come babysit. And, you know, I could rely on my parents to babysit Nico while I was training, or but all of that changed, every single aspect of that changed. But fortunately, what also happened is my husband's also, he's a jack of all trades. He does a lot. He's also in chiropractic school. So what also happened is his schooling went online. And so normally he would be in class from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then also trying to train after that and help me with my training after that. But with COVID, his classes all went virtual. So he was there every single day with us. And so it went from right when we got out of the hospital, it was right before everything shut down. So it went from, you know, the very first couple of days that we were home, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm at home with a baby all day by myself.
This is new.
How am I going to train? What is this going to look like? And then it went to, oh my gosh, he's here 24/7. Like, we're here together. We're doing this together. And it ended up being a really cool experience. A lot of people asked me, like, what's it like to have a kid with Down syndrome and things like that, and being a new mother and stuff like that. But for me, I don't know any different. Like, this is all it's ever been. And so for us, I feel like we've gotten into some kind of rhythm and some kind of flow. But for me as a new mother, I think I always knew there was going to be challenges, especially going into training. And I feel like I was pretty well prepared for that. Now, what I wasn't prepared for was a pandemic. That's just,
I mean, we were all blindsided. Like, what happened there? I didn't add that to my birth plan.
Not a part of it.
Okay. Last question I have is, what would you like to share with our audience? And maybe specifically, I don't know, new mamas, I guess, since you're like so right there in that time of life, I guess, in this time of journey, or maybe moms who are pregnant right now. It's such a blessing, this podcast, to be able to hear from the listeners who are like, I am currently pregnant, and hearing what moms have to say make me feel less scared. Like, those are like, it lights up my life, because so many parents get robbed of that joy and it's replaced with fear of the unknown. So I just think it's such a gift to be able to, I don't know, talk to the moms and dads who have this prenatal diagnosis and maybe who are holding their 2-week old when they listen to this with Down syndrome, and get some encouragement.
Yeah. So I think one of the things I would say is, you know, I've been fortunate enough to achieve a lot. Like, I've won 3 Olympic medals. I've traveled the world. I've done all this stuff. And one of the questions I got asked while I was pregnant all the time is your kid going to be an Olympian? Well, you know, that's a crazy thing to put on any kid. Like, the odds of doing that are so rare anyways. But second, we've always had this idea that if we were fortunate enough to get pregnant, and let's be honest, like, a lot of people don't have the ability to get pregnant and don't have that option. And so whether it's adopting or whatnot, you know, if we had the ability to get pregnant, we were just going to try and raise our kid to have the best life possible. You know, it was never our aspiration for our kid to be an Olympian, to be a banker, or any of these kind of things. It was always about quality of life and giving them the best chance at life possible. And that's how we live our day to day. So, you know what, if Nico wants to be an Olympian, I'm going to do everything I can to make that happen, to help him make that happen. I'm going to try not to helicopter parent, but
I know this is me.
I like to be in control of things. So I'm going to try very hard to let him, you know, let him show us what he's interested in. But I think that's the biggest thing, is whenever you're having a child, whenever, diagnosis or not, is just to go in and be realistic. It's like, you don't know what this child's going to bring to the table, but you know, obviously, that they were put on this earth for a reason. And your job as a parent is to guide them and to help them along whatever path they're going to choose. So I think it's a disservice. We do ourselves a disservice when we set up all these expectations for our child, which may or may not happen, you know? regardless of who you are, regardless of where you come from, your kid's going to live their own path. Like, mm-hmm. just because I'm a bobsledder doesn't mean that Nico's going to have any interest in it. Right. And so I feel like that's the biggest thing, is your job as a parent is to give your child the best life possible, the happiest mm-hmm. life possible. And if you can do that, and I really mm-hmm. strongly feel that we can all do that. We can mm-hmm. all give our children a happy lives. Mm-hmm. and then you're winning. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, if you're in that moment where you just received the diagnosis or you you just had your baby and you got the diagnosis, the biggest thing is, like, you will still have a happy life if you choose to have a happy life. Mm-hmm. You can.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so, so much. That was beautiful. Okay. And then one last thing, do you have some good news to share about Nico?
Yes, I have some good news. So this week we are going in for a cochlear implant surgery, okay. which is, of course, scary anytime your kid goes under, you know, that's stressful and nervous. But, you know, for us, we're really excited about the possibility of him being able to hear a little bit more and what that will potentially bring us. You know, it's same mm-hmm. thing. You know, we're not trying to put too much expectation on him, but, mm-hmm. you know, just this is opportunity that this could be something that, helps him communicate more with us. We're really excited about it.
I'm really excited about that for you guys, and I'll be thinking and praying for you and Nico. Thank you so much for your time, Alana. We've had so much fun listening to you and I feel like the team aspect of you and your husband is just dynamic, and it shows through Nico and your photos. And thank you for inviting us into your life and showing the world how beautiful being a family who has a child with Down syndrome is.
Well, thank you for all you guys do at the Lucky Few. It's been, as a new mother, it's been really incredible to be able to hear the stories on this podcast week after week and feel encouraged and uplifted.
Thank you. Woo! I love it. Love fest. Yay. Yay life. Okay. Alana, thank you. And thank you. Have a great day.
All right. You too. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, friends. Wasn't that awesome?
Oh my gosh. I love her.
I know. I was giddy the whole time, if you couldn't tell, and just really like, hi. Oh, like almost got like too nervous to talk. Okay, let me think of all the questions. Oh, wait, I'm going blank. You're famous.
Oh my gosh. And she was just so cool. You know, yeah. Like I just love like her oh, confidence and calm and yeah. Mm-hmm. All that.
She had, yeah, such a calm about her, and I love like just getting a little glimpse into how are you an Olympic athlete and a mother, you know, and training mm-hmm. and COVID. And it's kind of like, I felt like she was just like, you just roll with the punches. Like you make the yes. master calendar. I love that her husband is her trainer.
I know.
Yeah. So cool. And that they've just like amidst COVID, they've just figured it all out. And it's not that we all have it figured out, but made it work for them, you know, yeah. with their schedule. And it's just so awesome to get to hear her talk about how she can, like, I love this idea of you have a child with Down syndrome and you still continue doing the thing that you did, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. And when she was saying, when she was pregnant, people are like, is he going to be an Olympian? And she's like, very few people are Olympians, you know, like Down syndrome or not. This is right. not something that very many people
I'm going
to
put
are
on.
Able to achieve. Right. So yeah. Maybe, maybe not, you know?
I love that. And you know what I thought was really interesting? I feel like there's some people are just like amazing athletes, no matter what. Like I loved her saying, yeah, I was in softball and that wasn't working out. So I was like, what else can I do? What can I excel at and be one of the best in the universe? I'll try one. And then she is, she's like, she tries it and she's one of the best. I just think that's incredible.
Yeah.
I know.
The other thing that I thought was really interesting that she said was just the fact that, you know, this winter Olympic thing and that so much of those gosh, what am I trying to say? The countries that participate.
Yes, I hear you.
Are these countries that are in these articles about like we've eradicated Down syndrome. And so like those Nordic countries, right? That we think of. And the fact that those are people she's engaging with all the time. And like what a difference her advocacy is having in that space. I think that's incredible.
I think it's so incredible. I love that aspect of, you know, being a believer that nothing's by accident, like God's blessing the world and planting just awareness where it needs to be, you know, in such a place like the Olympics, where perfectionism, skill, and like, I mean, your body like has to be a certain way. You have to be a certain way. Is praised and seen as the best. I mean, I just think it's such an important reminder for an athlete like herself to be showing off her beautiful son and all of his worthiness and how we could see something as imperfect is so perfect. And it's just so rad. I'm excited for that family dynamic. Yeah, it's like a full family affair. Being in the Olympics, and that's pretty rad.
Yeah. And I love that he goes everywhere with her. You guys need to, I don't know if everyone's following her on social media. We'll have a link to it in our show notes, but he's just like at all the trainings and traveling the world. And
I know.
Just, I love that she's just immersed him into her life and her whole approach to bringing a child with Down syndrome into her world. It was really inspiring, and I'm grateful for her coming on and chatting with Mercedes, and jealous it wasn't me.
Oh,
but we'll be at the opening games. It's cool.
We'll be
that's right. We'll be invited cheerleaders forever.
Yeah. She's also a really big, she's doing a lot with Gigi's Playhouse, which is also awesome. And she made a way for herself because she kind of had to during COVID, which I thought was really inspiring, to get involved the best way she knew how, like through Zoom and joining different things and giving back. Because I kept trying to like dive in, you know, not so motherhood, starting off in motherhood is one big shock. And then I could imagine that another shock would be starting motherhood with Down syndrome, you know, and she mentioned having hard moments, but I feel like her and her husband's relationship, marriage, partnership is really solid. And they really, I feel like, have gotten through that, or like, I don't know, zoom past it. I don't know, but it just seemed really beautiful and only like encouraging. And I felt like her mindset is something that was encouraging, like that calm, collected, like roll with the punches, keep on moving. I feel like that's an athletic.
Yeah.
Also, just like so much a part of her, maybe her training, that mental place.
I think that's true. I feel like I liked how she talked about her training and his therapy. It was almost like they were kind of a similar thing. Like she saw it as like my conditioning, his conditioning, you know? And I feel like that's the opposite of how most of us come into this, where I don't know, I feel like by the time Ace was born, I was like, I have three kids and I can barely do a sit up and come on, Boyette, like, let's get back to the gym. And like, but I think seeing Ace train and like learning how important his body was convicting for me to be like, no, my body is really important too. And I want to be healthy. Yeah. And like, so it is a different thing to see someone who is like so committed to wellness and health and being in her best condition. And it's got to be a different perspective for her going into therapies with him.
Right. I saw that
for sure. All right. Well, make sure your friends to head over to our show notes at luckyfewpodcast.com because we'll have links to all of the important things. And I'm excited to follow her journey. I'm excited to see what happens with, she talked about Special Olympics and, you know, like a bobsled team in the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
And which doesn't exist right now. And just to watch her journey is going to be really exciting. And I'm proud to have her in our community. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Okay. Transitioning to something that we like to call good news. And we're going to head there after we hear from our sponsor. And then we're going to have some good news. I'll let True do it. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that healthy fiber intake is important to help keep your little one's potty time regular? Fiber is found in lots of food like apples, broccoli, beans, and whole grains. But it can be difficult to reach daily fiber goals with such a busy schedule, fussy eaters, or food sensitivities. High fiber for kids has 6 grams of fiber in only 1 liquid tablespoon. It also contains prebiotics, which balance the gut and keep bowel movements regular. The best part is that it doesn't require mixing into large amounts of water like other powder fiber supplements, and it has more fiber than most fiber gummies. High fiber for kids is not a laxative and will not cause dependency. It is safe to take daily and works best when taken regularly. It is PEG-free and is also dairy, gluten, and nut-free. See why parents are excited about this product? It's available on Amazon. Look for the bottle with the duck. High fiber for kids, small dose with big impact.
All right, friends. Good news time.
Time for good news. Time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah.
All right, friends. Does anybody have a little slice or sliver of good news from your child with Down syndrome?
I have something.
Okay, go, yes. Micah.
We started music therapy yesterday. I've been thinking about this for a while because I feel like it really is the secret sauce for Ace. And the times when he's verbalizing, it's usually when we're singing together. And so I went for it, pulled the trigger. We had somebody come to the house to start it yesterday. And so Ace basically got this... his own concert. He was living the dream. This guy just like playing guitar for him on the porch yesterday. Oh,
I love that.
It was so cool. And there were several times that Ace would, when he would pause, Ace would fill in the gap with a sound. And at the end, he sang like the goodbye Ace song. And Ace did the like goodbye part. And then we stopped and he was like putting away his guitar and kind of talking to us. And Ace stood up, looked at both of us and went, ba, 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 ba. And then just like walked out the door and away from us into the other room. Like, bye.
Yeah, okay, that's amazing.
It was so funny because it was like, he was like, I know we're done because we sang the goodbye song. And so
I'm not waiting here no longer.
No. And the bus sound has been a challenge for him in the last couple of years. And it was really cool because I knew exactly what he was saying and he did it. So.
Yes. I love that so much. So good. That. This episode right now that you're listening to is in June marks the month of Macy's birthday. It's the end of the month, the 29th, but this very soon I'll have a 13-year-old, and our good news is that we are totally booked and planned for her 13-year birthday extravaganza, which is going to her favorite dance studio in South Carolina. But we've never been to that part of the country. So we've got like our Airbnb, we've got our rental car, we've got a plan. So that feels like some good news on our end. I cannot wait for Mason to go dance with them.
Is she going to just go to a class? Is she having her own special sesh?
No, her birthday happens to be on a Tuesday, and on Tuesday nights they do drop-in classes.
Oh, like, no all way. Ages.
So I probably will go too.
Yeah.
So it just is like working out, but I did call the studio, or I've been in contact with them, and Macy watches all their videos and she like has her favorite dancers. And
that's rad.
She loves these certain dancers. And so I was talking to the woman who runs the studio. Her name's Angel. And she's like, we'll make sure that all of her favorite dancers are there.
Oh, so my gosh. It's going to be so like cool. Magic.
It's going to be magic. Also, there's like always a chance that we show up and she like, it's too loud. And then
yes. It could be overwhelmed to where she goes inward.
But, yeah. You know,
she might give you a good solid 10 minutes though.
Or she might, it might be a dream. I mean, we are almost 13 years in and we just hold everything very loosely.
So. I love it. I love it.
It's my good news. Trip is booked.
Awesome. Let's see. Sunny has been doing so good on her scooter. We've introduced a lot more family bike rides because Rhodes is on a two-wheel bike now. And so it's like something I'm really working on with Sunflower. But for right now, since we go for a few miles, she does her scooter and she does it like 2 miles to the park, 2 miles back.
That's amazing.
On her scooter. And that's a lot on a leg.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot. So I'm trying to get brave enough to do it with just her training wheel bike. And the other day we went for a 1 mile and she was on her training wheels and it was really good there and back. And so I was really proud of her.
Good job, Sunny.
Yeah.
little athlete.
I know she really is. When she starts doing the bobsled / skeleton, was it skeleton? The one you go backwards down that she was
saying? Well, I don't know about that one.
Let's do it. Sunny's in. Let's do it.
It was like head first and back. It was really intense. I was like, we'll put that one on the list. I'm looking for a nice shot put. No, I think she would be a runner or a
slayer. Yeah. Well, we have good news from a listener too today, and it's from Jupiter Hollow. And they say Iris Joy is starting preschool in the fall. Aww, so, cute. Oh, Iris Joy.
What I know. A
name. So sweet. That's awesome.
Good job, Iris Joy.
Thank you, friends. That was so fun. I love hearing all your good news. And thank you so much, listeners, for joining us. As always, we want to hear from you. Please leave us a voicemail or a DM on Instagram and share about your family and your good news about your loved one with Down syndrome. And if you have a product or a business that wants to help us shout the worth of people with Down syndrome, then we'd love to partner with you. You can email us at hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com for sponsorship opportunities. And a huge thank you to our editor, Josh Avis, our producer, Bao Schleter, our sponsor, and all of you who have shared the Lucky Few podcast with friends and who have listened faithfully and cheered us on. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember that you, dear listeners, supporting your loved one with Down syndrome, you are a shadow of worth, a narrative shifter, so keep on keeping on. We are cheering for you. Yay. We love you guys.
Bye.
Next time. Bye.